Welcome to Entrepreneurs Unlimited with Mark Haney. Mark is a serial investorpreneur and the chief dreaming officer of the Haney Biz family of companies. With an endless supply of energy, he deploys his experience and passion to unleash the potential in others and share the stories of the region's most influential leaders. And now, here's Mark Haney.
All right. Good morning, Sacramento. How do you do? This is the Haney Biz Project, and we are on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in our hometown. And you know what? This is a different kind of radio show. We are not the mainstream media, the political talking heads that follow every Trump tweet like it's a big Watergate scandal. And we are not those armchair quarterbacks that contemplate the infinite possibilities that happen if the general manager chooses a defensive lineman or a receiver in the first round of the draft. We are a different kind of show. This is a show about how we win. This is a show that talks to every one of us, because every one of us has a dream. And it's a show about philosophies that shape our outcomes. And it's a show about our families, our friends, our local businesses. And I'm talking about jobs. And I'm talking with Marcus Haney. How you doing, Marcus?
I am fired up, Mark. How you doing this morning?
You know what? We are doing all right. And you know what? As you think about being at your very best, I always have to ask you, Marcus, are you hanging or banging this morning?
I am banging here at Entrepreneurs Unlimited, banging just like we do our Saturday morning. So I'm fired up to be here. A little bummed out. Got the T-ball game got canceled due to rain.
But I hate it when that happens.
I know. So I was going to do some extra banging today, but
with the baseball bats,
Oh, man.
We'll
stay here.
You can still get out there on the concrete and throw some batting practice like you and I used to do, right?
Absolutely.
You can do it when it's wet. You don't have to tear up the field.
That's
tears
true.
Up the baseball a little bit, but that's all good.
We'll buy extra.
Yeah. So, okay. Now, today, you know, this show always is about how to win. And, you know, when we talk about are you hanging or are you banging, we're really talking about are you at your very best or are you more in relaxed mode? Because when you're at your very best, we know that that's when the magic happens. And when you're hanging, when you're resting, that's fine. But it's when we get caught in between where we think we're banging, we think we're doing our very best at our very best opportunities, but maybe we're kind of kidding ourselves. That's when we kind of get stuck.
Yeah, absolutely. That's when you look at something and don't go full speed. You got to make the decision to go at it, right?
Yeah, so you ever seen somebody, Marcus, they're driving. It looks like they're driving with 2 feet, right? So, in other words, it looks like 1 foot on the gas and 1 foot on the brakes, and they're kind of back and forth, and they're really not going anywhere. Are you going somewhere, or are you just sort of playing with the car?
Yeah, you kind of have to decide, right? I mean, I decided in 2017, I'm taking the brakes off full time. I'm going all gas, all time, like trying to keep up with you, too.
Yeah, so. Now what does that mean in your business? When you say going all gas, you're just both feet on the accelerator or just one?
depending on how tired my foot gets. Full time going out, meeting customers, driving business, putting things together, systematizing things, and really.
And we're talking about your supply company, right? You sell supplies to businesses that need hard hats, rubber gloves.
Anything safety, absolutely.
Anything safety. Anything okay, yeah. So you're going full speed into that.
Full speed into that. You know, I'm taking your lead. You're everywhere. Tell us where you've been, man. I haven't seen you at the office at all.
Your mom may be listening to this show, and of course I've been at the office, honey. You know what? I am out meeting people. I am probably the most curious guy in Sacramento. I love listening to the leaders of Sacramento share their stories, and I learn from those leaders. I learn from guys that are the younger generation like you, Marcus, that are chasing their dreams, and there's a lot of innovation happening right here in our region. And I learned from the guys that have really built these businesses that have scaled and done these important things for our community. So that's, to me, the fun of having a radio show is getting to learn, getting to spend some time with some people who are chasing dreams of their own. And we talk about, you know, most businesses, you know, 9 out of 10 small businesses, they don't make it in the first 5 years, right? 90% of the startups fail within the first 5 years. And so many of those ones that even make it, they don't really unleash their full potential. There aren't that many companies that get to 100 million or 200 million or more. But I mean, I always think to myself, what if we could cut that number in half? What if 90% of the businesses didn't have to go out of business? What if we cut that number in half? And what if we doubled or tripled or quadrupled the number of businesses that really unleashed their potential and got to 100 million, got to 200 million, reached those dreams that they have of finding freedom? And you know what? I think I have some of the solutions. I think I have some of the answers. I've listened to some of the smartest guys in Sacramento, and I've taken a few notes. I even got a couple of war stories
of my own. And you've done it yourself. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so that, and I'm going to talk about that at the end of the show, but I'm going to tease this just a little bit so people stick around. We talked about in the last couple shows about why people don't bang, right? Why are these barriers to banging? And number one is lack of passion, right? People do not throw themselves into what they love, right? Because if you throw yourself into something you love, you never work a day in your life. If you focus on what you're good at and you put the right people around you on the bus, you know what? Your chances of success are so much better. But the second thing you need to have is commitment, right? You have to commit to the right stuff. And so often as entrepreneurs, we misallocate our commitment. We misallocate our resources and we don't focus on the things that are most important. But the third most important barrier to banging, I'm going to share that at the end of the show. So stick around, my friends.
You got me hanging.
Hey, and stick around also because we are going to meet some entrepreneurs that are really doing some banging of their own. We're going to meet the Bardas cousins, Rachel and Catherine Bardas, the founders of Bardas Homes. But after the break, we will meet Doug Ranke of Blue On Energy. His environmentally friendly product is changing the HVAC industry as we know it. Join the conversation on Facebook Live. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited, and we will be back in just a minute.
And now, back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited with the Entrepreneurs Advocate, Mark Haney.
All right, welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited, presented by my buddies at Stifel Financial. I'm Mark Haney, and today I am joined by Doug Ranke. How you doing, Doug?
Doing great. How are you, Mark?
We're talking about Blue On Energy, and you know, you're the CEO of this energy company. Can you give us an overview of Blue On?
Sure. Blue On, about 6 years ago, saw an opportunity that R22 is being phased out, which is a refrigerant that's in 70% of the HVAC system.
Is that what some people call Freon?
That's kind of Freon,
so I know,
yeah.
That's kind of like
it's the next generation of Freon.
The C students' term for refrigerant.
It's used all the time. Freon. Yeah. So Blue On, Freon.
Okay.
Yeah, you can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, we saw that there was an opportunity to replace a refrigerant, but not just replace it because it's being phased out, but to gain efficiency in the system. So if we could gain efficiency, energy efficiency, and replace the Freon that's ozone depleting, right, with all the aerosols that we used to have to get rid of in the day, it was kind of the same thing. So we saw that opportunity, developed Blue On TDX20 here in Sacramento.
Okay.
Down in McClellan. Give them a little plug.
Yeah, Larry Kelly and our buddies over there.
Yep. So they've been great to us, by the way. But so we put in the Freon and the Blue On aspect of it. And now it's energy efficiency. It's in, you know, Equity Office Building, Kaiser Permanente, CBRE. So we're really gaining a big stronghold.
So this is kind of like a retrofit product. You already have your existing air conditioner, commercial air conditioner, I guess is where your focus is today. And you go in there and replace their Freon, I'll call it, the refrigerant of today with the refrigerant of tomorrow, which is a lot more energy efficient. So the motor doesn't need to run as long, or it runs more effectively?
More efficiently.
Okay.
More efficiently, yeah. I mean, you're going to save anywhere from 10 to 25% on the energy consumption side. We're going to run at lower temperatures and compressor pressures. So that's going to make that system last longer.
Right.
And it's expensive to change equipment, right? It's very expensive. It's $7 to $10 a square foot to change equipment, where you're going to spend 30 to 50 cents a square foot to change a refrigerant and gain the same.
So it's definitely a financial decision as part of deciding what kind of air conditioning you want for your business or for your building. But your product is also environmentally friendly as well, because it saves on electricity, number one. But are there other ways that it's more environmentally friendly?
Well, R22, that's up there, like I said, that is ozone depleting. So that's why it's being phased out. I mean, it's down to bringing in 13 million pounds a year coming into the U.S. That's as much as it could be. And that's, you know, a third of what it was 3 years ago. And, you know, 200 million pounds, just for perspective, is used just for repair R22 every year. So that cost is flying up. It's not good for the environment. You put ours in, you save energy efficiency. Electricity is the second biggest CO2 producer behind automobiles. Right?
When you say that's getting phased out, is that a government mandate that's phasing out R22?
It's called the Montreal Protocol. It was done in the 90s, and they're phasing it out. In 2 years, you won't be able to import any at all.
So what will happen? Are there other products like yours, or is yours the only product that's going to replace this R22?
I'd like to say it's only ours, but obviously there's other products out there, but they're less efficient. So they're less efficient than R22, which means you're going to burn more electricity, which why would you do that?
Right. But the timing for your product now, how long have you guys been in business?
6 years, but we got our EPA authorization in May of 15.
So the timing, let's talk about the timing. So you came on board to help bring this thing to market. And as the laws change, it just sounds like incredible timing to me to be launching this kind of product.
Everything's aligning right now. R22 prices are going through the roof. We're cheaper than R22. Never mind, we're more efficient. So, and we've all heard of Kigali maybe or HFCs out there, and the government's really focused on it. So the owners are focused on it now. Everybody's looking at it. So when you have the owners focused on it, you have facility managers focused on it, and you've got a lower price with more efficiency, it's kind of a win-win.
So you were brought on as the president and CEO to take this product to market. You have a background in taking products to market, sales, if you will, because, I mean, that's how we raise money in most businesses is through our customers. So in raising money from our customers, talk to us about how that happens on a sale-like the R22 replacement of Bluon. I mean, how do you take that to the market? We have sales guys that listen to this show. Let's help them. Let's give them a little sales training.
All right. Well, the way I really look at it, being an entrepreneur or bringing a new product, same thing. You have to have good awareness, right? So you've got to be aware of what's going on out there. And then you got to have perseverance.
Okay.
You got to have that perseverance, and you got to keep pushing through and make adjustments along the way. And what we saw is that we were going to mechanical contractors and so that we could get to their client base and give them the opportunity to upgrade their clients. So that was one avenue we went down. Another avenue is we went straight to the building owners. And so we starting at the C-level, working our way down to facilities and down to their HVAC guys and back up again. So the sales cycle is from top to bottom, back to top, right?
Yeah, makes sense, I suppose. So you get in and talk to the people who are most concerned about the financial aspect of the replacement of the R22, and then you work down to the people who are actually hands-on in the maintenance of these products.
That's right.
Okay, and then you pull it through your dealer channel or your installation channel.
Correct. We bring it through our installation, Bluon Optimization Program. Plus, we have a Bluon accredited installers, so we've had to build those programs so that we could pull people into the Bluon mindset, is what we call it, so that they could go out and take care of their customer base.
Are there any success stories you can talk about at this point?
There's many success stories. As I said, we have partnerships with Schneider Electric. They are bringing us to all their client bases around the country and now abroad. CBRE partnership, going to CBRE buildings. Australia, New Zealand, we're making a big impact there. They're probably a little ahead of us in the environmental curve. So there's been a big push there. And, we're looking at Brazil, China.
Wow. All based right here at McClellan Park.
In McClellan Park.
That is such a cool story. So as we think about this strategy of growth, I always think about how are you going to fund that growth, right? So as smaller businesses and startups, they often run into the need for more capital in order to expand. What does that look like for Bluon?
We've got a great investor base. They've invested a lot in the technology. It's not easy getting something through the EPA and then going and getting your R designation through ASHRAE, which you have to have. So R22, we're R458A. So we've had a very, very solid and consistent investment in us. Now we're turning that corner where, we'll be funding ourselves.
Nice.
So this is really the year that we're going to push it forward.
How does that feel as you start to see the dream and the process of coming true, right? It's like you've put all this time into building something and now the customers are starting to embrace that. What's that feel like?
Well, it was funny. I had a board meeting this week, and I was going through an inverted bell curve where it's like, wow, we have a great idea. Wow, what am I doing now? This is hard. You keep going down there, and then you got to cross that bridge and get to that part. Like, wow, we've learned a lot. I could see where we're going. Now this is exciting again, and we're pushing through. So it's a roller coaster. It's, you know, it's like any business that you start. It's not easy. But if you persevere and you've got good people around you, it feels pretty good.
Let's talk about your team. You said you have good people around you. Who have you surrounded yourself with?
I've got some... First of all, our board is great, and they're from the industry, and they understand it, and they're very supportive and very helpful. I've got really good technical people on both the chemistry side as well as the support and system side, and I've got great business development and sales guys. That really understand the cycle, the sales cycle, and what they need to be, you know, successful.
So we talk on this show about being at our very best. We call it banging, right? When you're banging, you're at the very best, at your very best opportunity. Now, what's banging look like for Doug Rehnke?
First of all, you got to love what you're doing, right? If you don't love what you're doing, then you're not going to be banging ever.
No question.
I love the challenge. I love the product. I love what we're doing. If you think about what we can do for the bottom line of our customer, what we can do for that system's longevity and what we can do for the environment at the same time, you don't get that opportunity that often to take care of all three of those things. So I think, you know, banging for me is being excited about coming in on Saturday morning with you and then going out to San Francisco for another meeting this afternoon. But I love it. And to me, it's just it gets me up, gets me moving. And then watching the people around me be just as excited, that's banging.
That's really cool. Now, I love it. You're working on Saturdays. You're down here hanging out with me a little bit. But let's talk about Doug in your personal. Who are you when you're not working, when you're just hanging?
When I'm hanging, I just moved to Sacramento not too long ago, a year and a half ago, from Colorado. I've got a great wife and support. I've got three kids that are, you know, I'm an empty nester now, so that's a cool thing. It's fun. So I love to golf, you know, get out, have fun, travel, and, you know, just be around a bunch of friends.
Yeah. Very cool. Any advice to entrepreneurs, right? There's people out there that are at those beginning stages of thinking about building a business or advancing their career, working their way up the ladder, love to be the CEO of a company like Blue On. What advice could you give that... that guy that's not hasn't quite got there yet?
I think, passion about what you're doing first, that starts, right? Because you need that fire inside. You got to have that fire inside to go. After that, as I said, it's awareness of where you're going, right?
No question.
Where you are. You need to know both so you could get there. And I think then it's the perseverance because it's going to be ups and downs. But if you're looking at that end goal and you're sticking to your plan, then you'll get there. You'll get there.
Very inspiring. I want to thank you, Doug, for coming on the show today. I congratulate you on what you are doing for my hometown of Sacramento. I'm appreciative, but I love to see success stories that are based right here out of Sacramento. And so welcome to Sacramento, Doug, and I look forward to knowing you better and look forward to the success of Blue On Energy. When we return, we will meet Rachel and Catherine Bardis, the founders of Bardis Homes. Join the conversation on Facebook Live. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited. We'll be back in just a minute.
Unlimited with Haney Biz's Mark Haney.
All right. Welcome back. I'm Mark Haney. And today I am joined by Rachel and Catherine Bardis, the founders of Bardis Homes. How are you two doing today?
Amazing. Good.
You're doing great. Okay, yeah. So now with three of us on the show, I'll probably need to direct traffic a little bit. So let's start off with you, Catherine. Catherine, you helped co-found this business, but you and I met a few weeks ago. You are Bay Mary's fiance, is that right?
I am.
You're following Bay. Any thoughts about, you know, your feeling on coming on Entrepreneurs Unlimited? What was your first reaction?
Well, I was totally surprised because we were actually driving here a couple of weeks ago. And I was like, oh, you know, I'm going on some radio show in a couple of weeks. I wonder if it's the same.
And he's a developer, too. You guys are like the power couple of Sacramento.
I don't know about that.
Well, that's how I'm spinning it. all right. Now, Catherine, let's get to know you a little bit, too. You two are cousins.
But we have to start with, it's Rachel.
Rachel. Did I say Kat? Yes. Yeah. My bad.
It's cool.
That's a senior moment here for me. I'm here with two people much younger than I am who are building incredible businesses. Catherine, let's get an overview of you. You have.
It's Rachel.
Oh, jeez.
You'll get it right one of these times. That's cool.
I know. Okay.
This is amazing.
This really is the old man thing. Rachel, not Catherine. Rachel. Yeah. Sorry. My bad. You're the blonde one, Rachel.
You are right now.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. All right. So, yes, no question. I have a little bit of blonde hair myself. So, tell us about how the partnership happened. Bartus Homes, want an overview of the company and then how you two decided to put this thing together.
Well, we decided really out of luck. We are 12 years difference, and I was in development previously. Catherine came to Sacramento to go to law school and hang out with family a little bit more. And we just had an opportunity come up to where my uncle, her dad, said, hey, we've got some lots, and you guys want to play around with seeing what you can do with them. And at that point, I had been out of development for a few years, had my fabulous two babies, and so we gave it a go. And she was doing law school, and as well as doing an internship at a law firm.
Uh-huh.
And I was still kind of dusting off my head a little bit about what we want to do with development and if we want to get back into it. And
yeah, yeah. Well, now your two babies are now 9 years old.
They are.
So you dusting off, you had some development experience, and then you say it was luck to find a way to bring on Catherine. Catherine, did you feel like it was luck as well?
Yeah, I'm the good luck charm.
So how did it happen? So you got the lots, and your dad has the lots. Catherine, and so then what made you decide to coordinate with your cousin, the older cuz?
Well, you know, Rachel and I always had, I am the youngest in my family, so okay. I wasn't too close with anyone growing up. I think, what's Anne, like 10 years older than me? So
yeah.
I'm the youngest by 10 years, so I wasn't too close to anyone, but for some reason, Rachel and I always had a lot of commonalities, like we both rode horses, she always did a really good job keeping in touch, and checking in on what I was doing. So we always had a stronger bond than I did with anyone else in my family. So it's just kind of natural that while I was in law school, I would always also work at the office as well. And I'd see her a little bit. And so it was just kind of natural that we started working together. And it was by luck, honestly.
Well,
we don't know how to answer that.
Obviously,
it's the worst question. Yeah. Everyone asks us that question. We're like, I don't know. Yeah. We just started doing work together, and it was fun.
It's obviously working. Now, Catherine, tell us about what your developments look like today. You're building homes.
We are. We like to think that we're building communities.
Okay.
So we have a couple communities right now. One in Sacramento called the Mill at Broadway, and then a second one in West Sacramento called the Good Project. And both of them are urban infill, more geared towards a millennial buyer, cool urban homes, smaller floor plans, a less expensive price point than you would see in Lincoln or Rockland, Roseville area. So
are they for the first-time home buyer?
A lot of them are, yes. And we are getting a lot of first-timers.
When you say they're cool, what does that look like in terms of decor and layout of one of the homes?
So the layouts of the homes are relatively open, and the kitchens, instead of having a formal dining room, the kitchens are kind of the gathering place. And so you'll see a larger kitchen with a really big island that can act as the dining table. Instead of having compartmentalized rooms, it's just one big open party pad.
Sounds fun. So now, Rachel, get you to jump in here a little bit, too. So describe what goes into building these communities. Obviously, it starts with a piece of dirt. And then how do you build a community? Sounds pretty darn hard.
It's not easy at all. but, you know, a lot of people think it's fun and easy. And so that's why they get into it. And then 9 times out of 10, they end up going, oh, my gosh, this is a ton of work. There's a lot of hurdles to overcome. And there are. But it's something that I think for both Catherine and I, we're both really competitive, and we really like to just take on really, we'll just call them awesome challenges, because doing infill development in Sacramento or city of West Sacramento is just, it's not something that comes as like second nature to anyone. There's not been a lot of it in the last 30 years or more as infill development, especially for sale market rate homes. So there's a ton of infrastructure changes that you have to deal with, and upsizing, and lots of coordination with utility companies, and things aren't in the right places or locations. And so it's just, it's a lot of really awesome opportunities to make on-the-fly decisions and coordinate with people. So it's a lot of work, but it makes, you know, when you see the community build, especially the mill at Broadway, we're about, you know, 2 years into it, really. And to see where it was 2 years ago as compared to today, there's people living there, walking down the street, loving their community, can't wait for the next phases. And so it gives us that motivation and drive, because we're doing something that's pretty awesome for Sacramento, we think. And we're seeing the outcome of it, where people are just really excited to be a part of it.
Catherine, how important is that location, or are those locations?
You know, location really is everything. There was a lot of skepticism when we started getting involved in the mill. There are a lot of people that thought we were crazy just because the location, it's not exactly in the city environment. You know, it's a little bit on the outskirts. It's on 3rd and Broadway. But the ability to create a community right outside of kind of the city limits, I think, is really cool. Especially the mill is such a large piece of property, to where you have the ability to kind of massage the fabric of the area and kind of create something bigger than it could be.
So beyond the home, you described it as the community. Yeah. What does that look like outside the house?
Yeah, outside the house, there's a 4-acre public park. Wow. There's a community garden that we are sharing with the elementary school right next door. There's a public marketplace that we're going to be
community
building
garden. Okay, yeah. I got to stop you there. Now, what is the community garden, and who whose idea was that?
Not ours.
is that mandated by somebody?
No, I think the community garden is a great idea. I mean, it's something that we're really passionate about, especially Rachel having kids and, they love gardening. I couldn't garden if it saved my life.
So now, Rachel, how does this work? So you have this 4-acre garden, and by owning a home in your development, I get a little plot of land to grow my whatever I like to grow?
It's a partnership with the city of Sacramento and a few other nonprofits to help maintain and continue that gardening area. Because a lot of times when you say, hey, we're going to have this plot of land so that all of the homeowners can have access to, you know, growing their own tomatoes, the excitement of it is all of about like maybe one season of gardening, and then it starts to look like a lot of weeds are growing everywhere, you know.
So you're not responsible for weeding your own garden then, is that right?
Well, it makes it to where if you do want that responsibility, you have it available to you. Uh-huh. If you don't, the city of Sacramento, as well as a few other nonprofits, and the school, which is right next door, it's going to be a joint effort. So it's going to always be maintained. There's always going to be fruits and vegetables available to the community, at the marketplace, to the school.
Healthy living. And,
it is. Yeah.
Now, is there anything unhealthy that's grown there, Catherine?
I can't tell you that.
What's unhealthy?
I don't know. I'm not sure what you're saying. I'm thinking, what a cool concept. I know if I'm a health conscious person, I'm going to want to grow my own fruits and vegetables if I can. But there's probably like height restrictions and things like that that go into it. I was just assuming.
Well, you know, I think that anybody that wants to live, it's a pretty awesome opportunity. You want to live downtown. You want to live near the core. You want to live near restaurants and excitement and entertainment. You want to be able to bike to the downtown Capitol Mall in 5 minutes. Yeah, we've got a bike and pedestrian access that's going to be awesome as well. And then you can have a garden
right there, and
a large garden at that, and then a 4-acre park site in the middle of it. So there's nothing right now. Maybe when the rail yards comes online, it might be something similar, but there is not a single development in all of the city of Sacramento that has anything like what we're offering.
Kind of like an oasis right there off Broadway. That's really cool. Now, are there other amenities? Okay, you have the amenities within your community. Did I hear a farmer's market? Is that part of it? Is that coming?
There's maybe the farmer's market under the freeway every Sunday.
Oh, okay.
Off Broadway. We are not providing our own farmer's market, but there will be. We're repurposing a pretty large brick building that's in the middle of the community to hopefully be a market or something really cool in the future.
And how would you contrast the mill with what's going on in West Sac?
The mill is much larger than what we're doing in West Sac, but similar in that both projects have a lot of heart and soul. And when you walk into them, you feel like you're a part of something, which I think is really cool and unique, because you don't always get that with a new home community. You sometimes walk in and you're like, oh, this is all new. Like, I don't feel like I'm becoming a part of something. And so both communities kind of merge the old with the new. And you kind of feel like you're a part of something bigger, which is really unique and I think really special.
Yeah, wow. And I think the mill actually is, it is both those things. But in addition to that, the Good Project, which is in West Sacramento, it has something outside of our control happening, which is even more exciting. It has, you know, new restaurants popping up all over the place. It is constantly having this new evolution happening in front of us that we're not in control of. The mill, we're in control of. We've got 1,000 homes that we need to build. So, we're there 10 years if all goes well, you know, building about 100 a year. And then you've got, you know, different phases of that where it does have retail, it does have repurposed buildings, but all of which are under our control, vision, and we're working within the community. In the Washington District, where the Good Project is, there are so many people running to that area because it is such an awesome new hot spot right across the river with so many opportunities that they're just, and the city of West Sacramento has been very proactive with their infrastructure planning. So they've taken the cost of doing all that on themselves. So that anyone coming in and getting their piece of land, they just take their idea and start running with it.
Wow. Now, how did you guys, Rachel, Rachel, how did you guys decide the names of these projects? They're interesting names. How did you decide?
So the Mill at Broadway was a, we're working with a developer that owns the piece. And that actually was an old piece of property that had a mill on it. So the Mill at Broadway is very much speaking to the history of what it was. And so we want to keep the history along with the community so that it's not, it goes along with that fabric. So there's all sorts of aspects that we're keeping as a repurposed item within the community so that they see, there's the old mill, or there's, you know, and on the streets are all named accordingly.
That's cool.
So it keeps with that. The Good Project was actually a project that we took over from a previous developer. So it's a 10-year-old project, and they unfortunately lost it during the downtime.
Okay.
Another developer came in, and then we came in and took it over, and we thought, well, we can't change the name. People love the Good Project.
Yeah.
The people that originally bought there are so proud of that community because at the time, which is 10 years ago, mm-hmm. it was very innovative. It was very efficient. It was, you know, the design was just well beyond its years. And so it actually is very applicable today, 10 years later, where it's still so relevant and it has a lot of heart to it.
We're going to have to cut to break, but when we come back, we're going to hear a little bit more about this entrepreneurship story of Catherine and Rachel and talk about how it is working with your cousin on the same projects over this last few years. So this is Entrepreneurs Unlimited, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited with Haney Biz Investorpreneur Mark Haney.
All right, welcome back. I'm Mark Haney, and we are rejoined by Rachel and Catherine Bardas, the founders of Bardas Homes. And we've been talking about what their developments are like. They've got one in the heart of Sacramento and one just across the bridge over in West Sac. And I had promised them that I was going to help them sell a house today. So remind me to help you get a house sold. Or actually, I'm going to take responsibility. I'm going to sell a house today if I can. But before I do, I want to kind of show you guys' personality a little bit. You're two cousins that your personalities are very fun-loving and kind of spunky and stuff like that. I would imagine two cousins working together as co-founders, there must be some back and forth in a good way and every once in a while kind of in a more feisty way. Catherine, give us a sense as to what's it like working with your cousin.
We have a joke that we're both HR nightmares.
It's fortunate that
we're a small company.
Okay.
Me in particular, I'm not very censored.
Okay.
So coming on here this morning is very difficult.
Yes. Yeah. There are definitely some words that you have to hold back on AM radio.
We have a joke in the office that when Rachel gets mad, she gets very scary.
Do you agree with that? Rachel, you agree with that?
Well, you know, I think that it's probably a fair statement, but I will say, just in defense of myself, it might be the motherly aspect. I just get silent. And I just get very serious.
Okay.
And then the expectations start lining up.
And lasers start shooting out of her eyes.
Oh, I see how it is.
You know, horns slightly grow out, well, nostrils
you
flare.
You need to have a balanced approach to business. And so we think about that on this show. A lot of times we're talking about, you know, are you hanging or are you banging? So I'm a little edgy too myself. No F-bombs or anything, but I definitely like to keep it a little bit light. And so, I mean, when you're banging, you're your very best, right? At your very best opportunity. And when you're hanging, hey, it's okay. Everybody needs their downtime to kick back. But so often we get caught sort of in between. We're not working on what we're best at. We're getting caught up in stuff that's just not fun. Okay, so Catherine, what's banging look like to you?
Every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's it look like? What are you doing when you're banging?
I'm just sitting at my desk, pumping out emails all day long.
That's actually, that's a luxury.
That is my dream.
Yes. Now, I've seen picture you out on a job site. What's it like walking onto a construction site being Catherine Bartis?
You know, I feel like I grew up on construction sites. I hear stories from when I was a kid on how I would get dropped off at model homes
to get babysat by the realtor. Yeah.
So it's something that felt very natural to me. It's very natural. It felt like I was home every time I go out there.
Well, okay, Rachel, you're the more serious one, I guess.
I don't think I am.
What's banging look like to Rachel?
I think that if we're really getting our hustle on, I call it the hustle.
Yeah.
Got to go work it. If we're really getting our hustle on, we're hitting every one of our job sites. Everyone's in queue. They're doing what they're doing. They're overcoming their own issues and they're telling us how they've, come to the decision on how they are going down that path. And hopefully I don't get those horns and that serious face. I'm like, good for you. High five. It's getting our high five team in order. We've got a really good team they're hustling every day. And then it makes us to where we can get back in the office. We can hustle at the office. It really is actually a luxury to have that downtime. We're calling it downtime, but it's working that hustle on the email and getting back to things.
That's right.
Because it's really hard. You don't want to go a single day without getting back to those phone calls, those emails, and just keep the ball rolling. It's like ping pong.
Yes.
If it's rallying my court, I'm rallying it out. Get it out. Yeah. Let's go.
Everything off our list.
Now, you guys told me that you guys were going to surprise each other with a question. So I want a challenge question. So I'm going to start off with you, Catherine. You want me to start off with Rachel?
Yeah.
Okay, Rachel. Rachel, I want you to challenge Catherine with a question. Give her a tough one. Maybe one of your twins came up with a question on the way over here that we can challenge Catherine with.
So they were really curious to know when she was going to have a baby.
Oh! Catherine's getting married soon. When is the baby coming?
After the wedding.
Great. Now, you guys, you've described, Catherine, your family, right? You guys are like, it's like my big fat Greek wedding type of thing, right? You have your, because Bay's family's real close, your family's real close, and they all have a lot of, they care about your wedding a lot, don't they?
They do. So that's why we hired a wedding planner.
Perfect. So let's have you challenge your cousin, if you don't mind, Catherine.
Okay, well, mine was really boring and not personal. I wanted to know at what point in life and what was the turning point on when you decided to get into development? Like, what was the moment, the aha moment?
I don't know if it was an aha other than like the ball was rolling and I just kept rolling with it. But no, it was coming back. So I worked for... I'll date myself. I worked for Governor Pete Wilson in the Bay Area. And when I decided to not move forward in doing some risk management consulting with some various groups in the Bay Area, I moved back to Sacramento and took on some challenging rental opportunities that the family had because they were all looking at me like, what in the world are you doing not taking these jobs? Why are you coming back? So the long and short is I got my real estate license just because that's what you do if you're a Bartis.
Yes.
You get into real estate. I didn't know what I was going to do with it. Took on some rentals that were really highly challenging. And I actually enjoyed it. I had fun. So I started a property management company, worked with some commercial properties. And then I think it was maybe about a year and a half or 2 years into it that Uncle Chris, Catherine's dad, said, you got some fire in your belly. What do you want to do with that? Do you want to try and start some developments again? Because at that point, Wincrest Homes, which was the company that they were involved in, sold to Lennar.
Okay.
And so there was a non-compete on our cousins, our older cousins, and they didn't put it on the old guys thinking they would retire. And so a year after that sale, Chris was he has no quit in him. Talk about some hustle. That man has no quit. And he said, hey, let's start something back up again. So I was like, oh, sure. I have no idea what this map means and what it does, but I will try and figure it out.
That's great. Okay, so just as we kind of wrap up today, maybe just some advice. I'm going to go to each of you. I'm going to start with you, Catherine. Just advice to people who are thinking about chasing their dream and maybe going after entrepreneurship. It's a little risky. It's got to be a little bit scary. Any advice?
So I have to tell myself this all the time as well, because I have a tendency to be very ADD in my ideas and my plans in life. And so my big thing is, if you're going to do something, go with it and do it 100%. Don't look back and just keep moving forward. And this is what you're going to do, and commit everything that you have and all your drive and energy and effort into it.
Commit everything you have. I love that. How about you, Rachel? Any advice?
Yeah, mine's similar. I refer to it as half step. If you're going to do it, don't do it part way. Don't do it a little bit. Don't question yourself of, is this the right path? Just hustle, run, work it. And then if you see that there's an opportunity to change course because it's not quite working, keep doing it. Keep hustling. Because if you don't half step. If you constantly question yourself, you're never going to get to the end game.
Keep on hustling. I love it. I want to thank you, Rachel and Catherine, for coming on the show today. I also want to thank Doug Renke. I also want to thank our sponsors, Audi of Rockland. After you go down and buy your house from the Bartis cousins, I'd like you to come visit me, and I'll sell you a Rockland Audi. You probably need a new car to pull into that neighborhood. So I suggest a new car, a new home. Let's just make it a fun weekend. Come on down. We'll take care of you in Rockland. I want to thank my sponsor, DCA Capital, as well as Galena, also known as CLA. They're the accountants. My buddy Jason Cardney over there is the tax man. But you know what? We got to reach our goals as fast as we can do it correctly. And I'm going to share my closing thoughts about hanging and banging and the entrepreneurial revolution that's just starting to ignite just a little bit right here in Sacramento. When we return, I will share those thoughts. Mark still have a few takeaways, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited with Mark Haney.
All right, welcome back. I'm back here with Marcus Haney. We've been talking to some entrepreneurs this morning and talked a little bit about the entrepreneurial revolution. And I think, Marcus, we saw that revolution, a few sparks of that revolution this morning with Doug, you know, Rachel and Catherine, and these newer businesses that are starting to spark up, you know. And it started with the Kings decided to stay right here in Sacramento, and I think that sparked so many smaller little flames. You know, this thing's it's not a big forest fire yet, but there's a lot of little flames building.
I think the best thing you said there was yet. Absolutely, right? I mean, Blue On Energy, who would have thunk that that would have been a business that would be right here in Sacramento, really changing the HVAC game and, you know, the stuff that's going to be put into there for the future. I mean, obviously there's laws put in place that business model seems like it's going to have a good upside, right? So I think it's
neat. No question. And, you know, when you're thinking about a revolution and how a revolution starts, it does start with those sparks. Like a forest fire starts with a few little sparks, and then at some point it becomes a massive flame. And I got to think that that's what happened in the Silicon Valley when the tech industry began. Is it, you know, there were a couple of good successes, and then it sparked all these smaller opportunities. And now that's the tech capital of the world right down the street from us. And you see that happening in entertainment in Southern California, in the movie industry, in Nashville, that's country music. Why can't that happen for entrepreneurship right here in Sacramento? And, you know, I don't know if you know this story, Marcus, but there's a story. I mean, you don't go out and get manis and pedis too often, do you? You ever get a manicure?
I had one, and I don't like my feet being tickled.
I don't know if you know this, but 80% of the people that are doing nail salons, that own nail salons, they're Vietnamese. And that started back in the 1970s. There was actually started in Sacramento, or just outside Sacramento. There was a in Weimar, there was a camp there where all the Vietnamese refugees came from. And I knew kids that were in that camp. I played football with some of the guys that kind of made it out of the camp and into the community.
Wow.
And a few of those women decided that they were going to do nails, right? And back in the day, getting a manicure or a pedicure, it cost a lot of money. Now they're everywhere. And if you notice, 80%, I mean, it's almost all Vietnamese. And that, but that started right here in Sacramento. 80% of the hair or the nail salons in California are Vietnamese, and it started right here because of some conversations that happened, and it ignited spark, and they found entrepreneurial opportunity. And I don't see why that can't happen right here with just entrepreneurship. I think it can, but we have to help these guys succeed. We have to come together as the leaders of Sacramento to help these startups to succeed. I like the idea of embracing a zero failure philosophy. And we talked about how do you make sure you don't fail, and how do you unleash your full potential? And it has to do with banging, right? Working at what you're very best at, and your very best opportunity. And we know that has to do with passion. We heard that today. You got to be focused on what you're good at, and you've got to be committed. You have to be able to go all in and commit. And if you can commit to something that that you know to be true, that other people might not know is really going to happen yet, then you've got something extremely special. But the third part of banging, right, working at our very best, is having purpose. And so often we forget forget about our purpose. It's out of sight, out of mind, and that inattention to our big why, what really matters to us in our life. You know, if we don't have that on the front of our mind, then we are not going to be banging, and that we are not going to be creating opportunity that we can right here for our family, our friends, and our community. And I just, you know, I was voted, Marcus, and I think you know this, I was voted most likely to be a bum by my high school classmates. I think it was mostly my ex-girlfriend's voting. But
how do you like me now?
Yeah, But I think we can vote Sacramento most likely to succeed as entrepreneurs, right? Why don't we create the environment right here in Sacramento that makes it more possible for entrepreneurs to succeed, to thrive? 9 out of 10 small businesses do not have to fail. We can cut that number in half. We can help build companies that unleash their potential. We can build $100, $200 million companies, even larger, right here in Sacramento, if the leaders of Sacramento come together, if the leaders of Sacramento embrace the power of with, right? With the investment community, with the people that are affecting public policy, with the entrepreneurial leaders, if we come together, nobody has to fail. You don't need to fail if you've got the right people by your side. As I think about what's important to me right now and my big purpose, Marcus, it's really about gratitude for the people like you that served our country so bravely, for the people that helped me to build the life that I have today. My feeling, my purpose, it's all about gratitude. Never above you. Never below you. Always by your side.